Today on the Bill Kelly Show on 900 CHML.
We've had a number of discussions about energy going forward, and with the move to EVs, that's going to put a lot of pressure on the grid. You know, past governments here in Ontario have made strong commitments to alternative sources, wind power and solar power and things of this nature. But it seems as if, in the last little while anyway, discussion about nuclear energy is coming back once again. Some people had written that off some time ago, but there is a business case to be made for this. Now, our next guest is going to talk to us about that. He is Dr. Chris Kiefer, who is the president of Canadians for Nuclear Energy. Chris, great pleasure to have you back in the program. Thanks for the time today.
Thanks for having me back, Bill.
Just looking at my calendar of events here, it was, I guess, March 29th, just a couple of days ago, was the 44th anniversary of the Three Mile Island nuclear accident that occurred in Pennsylvania, of course, and that caused a great deal of consternation. They made a movie about it, in fact, and I think it turned a lot of people off and said, well, you see what happens when you use nuclear? Let's see, all the hell breaks loose. That was then, this is now, but some people still harbor those concerns. Are we over that now, especially at the governmental level, who are going to make decisions about where we're going forward?
Yeah, I mean, the timing of that film was incredible. The China Syndrome, really popular film with Jane Fonda in it, talked about a nuclear meltdown happening in Pennsylvania, and 10 days later it occurred. Now, you know, this is the only major nuclear accident in North America, and it gets a lot of press. It's called a catastrophe. It was certainly not good for the company that built it. They lost several $1 billion in costs. But in terms of the radiation release, no more than a chest x-ray of radiation to the public around there. Absolutely no increase in cancer rates or anything like that. So while it occupies a lot of the public imagination, this was not something that I would put in the category of a disaster, a catastrophe. Certainly a catastrophe for public relations for nuclear. But yes, I mean, we are moving past that. And the rate of change is really staggering for me. On the federal level, we have a new budget out just a couple of days ago, which is very supportive of nuclear. It extends the tax credits that are being put out to all forms of clean energy enthusiastically towards nuclear. And that includes small, large, and critically, it includes refurbishments.
So with that in mind, and there's still some talk about what's going to be happening here in Ontario, of course, a couple of plants that may have to have some work done on them. But I want to talk about the commitment, though. I mean, is the government going to be all in on this and make this a part of the overall plan going forward? Because I know there are still that some, and you've heard from them, probably do every day after we have these conversations, that just say, no, look, at the future is wind and solar, and we don't want to go down this road again.
You know, I've been very surprised, to be honest, at how quickly things have turned around. As you know, I've been involved in advocacy around the issue of nuclear energy for the last 3 to 4 years. I've been to Ottawa many times. Listen, I mean, this government was, I'll put it generously, hostile in a closeted way to nuclear energy. You know, back in COP26, when I was at the big climate conference, I had an interaction with Stephen Guilbeault, our Minister of Climate Change and the Environment, who's been a longstanding opponent of nuclear energy, fighting to shut down the Pickering Nuclear Station, for instance, repelling off the CN Tower. I mean, this guy's been a hardcore environmental activist. And he really, I think, had the Prime Minister's ear. We've gone to sort of a lukewarmest phase where, you know, when Trudeau was asked about nuclear, he'd start off by saying, you know, wind and solar are great. We kind of maybe should sort of leave all options on the table, and that should maybe include nuclear, to the budget that we're seeing this week, which again is really a full-throated support for nuclear energy. So things are changing rapidly, and it's not just here in Canada or in Ontario. Around the world, attitudes to nuclear energy are rapidly changing. And, you know, I wrote an op-ed on this week, but, you know, in terms of how to finance this, how to pay for this, you know, green bond frameworks are increasingly including nuclear energy in Europe, in the UK, and South Korea. And I think that's going to be coming soon to a province near you here in Ontario.
Yeah, I read the op-ed piece, and it was in the Financial Post, at least the version of it I read. And I was intrigued by this because, as you mentioned, you know, we've talked in the past about kind of one-offs. You know, some Scandinavian countries are kind of, you know, looking at this. Even the Green Party there said, look, you know, can't exclude nuclear. And the European Union seems to have embraced it now, haven't they?
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. There's been a fight. You know, sure. Countries like Germany, Austria, Belgium – who've been ideologically opposed to nuclear. I mean, Germany is really the laughingstock of Europe at this point. They became critically dependent on Russian gas, and that's because of the energy choices they made. They shut down a massive nuclear fleet. About a quarter of their electricity was coming from nuclear, and they went all in on wind and solar. They spent about $500 billion on wind and solar, and essentially they just built a parallel grid. Because when the weather doesn't cooperate, you got to have something that will keep the lights on that will meet 100% of demand. So they shut down nuclear. They have not succeeded at shutting down coal, still the number one source of electricity on their grid. And they just announced they're building 30 new grid-scale gas plants. So, you know, you asked me in that earlier question about people saying, why don't we just keep doing wind and solar? Well, we've run the experiment on this. I mean, Germany is one of the richest countries in the world, one of the most technologically advanced. The technology of wind and solar is just not capable of kicking fossil fuels off the grid. And again, that's evidenced by coal in 2022 still being the number one source of electricity on the grid, 30% of German electricity.
We've heard economic development ministers, premiers, prime ministers, and others over the last little while talking about economic recovery and attracting new economic investment. How important is it to have a consistent energy source and a reliable energy source to attract those foreign investors?
Well, it's absolutely essential, and Ontario is a place where companies are looking to invest and set up manufacturing facilities precisely because of our nuclear-powered grid, which is one of the lowest carbon grids in the world. So, you know, having reliable energy to power a factory that runs 24-hour days is absolutely essential. You can't do that on wind and solar. And I mean, a lot of the reason that people think we should keep doing wind and solar is because, you know, we've heard that it's cheap. And it's true, you know, when the wind and the sun are cooperating, the electrons coming out of, you know, wind turbines and solar panels are some of the cheapest things around. But let's not forget, I mean, I'm sitting in the rain on a windless day here in Toronto. The costs of the backup system to run everything are extraordinarily high. And what backs them up is not things like batteries, which provide, you know, seconds to minutes of grid scale storage. It's things like natural gas and coal, which is, again, exactly what we've seen in Germany. You know, luckily, despite, you know, this massive buildout of wind and solar we did in Ontario, nuclear did the heavy lifting to get coal off of our grid. It's illegal to burn coal in Ontario for power generation, and that's because nuclear provided 90% of the electricity to do so. So, you know, it's a complicated question, but a pretty simple answer. We need reliable low-carbon energy to power our economy and our factories and our manufacturing.
Dr. Chris Kiefer, president of Canadians for Nuclear Energy. Go check out the op-ed piece. I think it lays everything out there for us to have some serious considerations about this. As always, Chris, thank you for the time. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on.
Take care.
The Bill Kelly Show, weekdays from 9 to noon on 900 CHML.
I'm not just a pawn in this game.
Three nights a week on Global.
They're putting targets on their back. Massive.
Drama.
I guess you could say I'm in a showman.
They're just so in love and so annoying. Enough.
Betrayal.
The guy just put up his best friend now.
And plot twists.
What is happening right now?
You'll never see coming.
If you're coming for me,
this is perfect.
I'm coming for you then.
It'll be a battle.
Like, it'll be war.
Big Brother Canada. All new Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Sundays on Global. Stream on Stack TV.